A sixth round of talks to keep commerce flowing freely between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico begins today in Montreal. Each year, NAFTA is responsible for more than $1 trillion in trade between those countries, but President Trump has threatened to walk away from the 24-year-old deal. Last week, he called it a bad joke. Tonda McCharles has been following the negotiations from the Ottawa Bureau of the Toronto Star. Tonda, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
Is there a feeling there in Canada that going into this sixth round of talks that NAFTA could fall apart?
Look, I think there's a real fear about that, Peter. Canadians are pretty focused on what your president is saying about NAFTA and tying it to, you know, forcing Mexico to pay for a wall. And of course, that's, you know, Mexico's one of the big three partners at the table on this. And so, yes, I would say that people are very wary of whether or not someone will pull the plug, someone will up and walk away, and most people think that's going to be the Americans.
Well, we know there are a couple of poison pill provisions that are threatening to derail the talks. The wall, of course, is one of them from Mexico's perspective. Another one is this demand by the United States that more auto parts are made in North America for North American cars. Why is that such a stumbling block?
Well, look, that's a stumbling block for Mexico and Canada in this respect. I think that from what I'm hearing from negotiating teams is that there may be some room to increase the requirement for more North American content in autos and auto parts. But the sticking point is that the U.S. team has demanded 50% be American sourced. And so many automakers will just say, never mind, we're going to continue to make the cars the way we make them and source the parts the way we source them. And we'll just pay what is now the WTO, the World Trade Organization tariff on autos, which would be about 2.5%. So that's a big sticking point for Canada and Mexico. And what I'm told is there may be some movement for some discussion on greater North American content, but the U.S. demand that fully half of the product be made in the USA is probably a non-starter still.
And what's not spoken there is that then a quarter only would be able to come from both Canada and Mexico, which would be a problem from your country's perspective. Another issue, of course, is this sunset clause that U.S. negotiators are pushing for. It would demand a renegotiation of NAFTA every 5 years, otherwise it would expire. Is that a problem?
I think that, you know, there was a great analogy given at the outset of when that demand was tabled. The Canadian ambassador to the U.S. said it'd be like a marriage contract, and if you knew that it was automatically going to expire, you'd be, you know, why would you enter into it? There does, however, seem to be some sense among the Canadian negotiating team, however, that Mexico had a good idea when they said, okay, well, you want to talk sunset clause. Well, maybe what's at the root of that? The root of that is let's review it periodically and see if it's still a good deal for everybody. But an automatic kill clause, they say, doesn't serve any purpose ultimately.
Rana Ambrose is a member of Canada's NAFTA advisory panel, and she had a pretty dire prediction about the trade agreement's future. Here she is on CTV News.
It really gets down to Donald Trump. And the people around him are anti-NAFTA. He's anti-NAFTA. And so I think the consensus is that, yes, he will pull out, but we just don't know when.
Pretty pessimistic view there from an important person there in Canada. Mm-hmm. How do Canadian officials feel about the negotiating tactics of Donald Trump and his administration?
You know, it's pretty clear to me that they are fully aware that at any moment President Trump could decide to issue some kind of notice he's pulling out. They have always known that is a potential play and potentially a negotiating ploy, if I could put it that way, because
right.
He may see that as a way to increase pressure at the negotiating table. One thing they're also very conscious of, that issuing a notice of pulling out of the detail, out of the deal rather, gives nevertheless a 6-month period before that would actually happen. And there is considerable debate here, as I think there might be in the U.S. eventually, around whose power is that. You can talk to a number of trade lawyers. They have sort of many views on it, but some of them will say, look, the actual residual power to end a trade deal resides with Congress. And I'm told there's only ever been one. The U.S. has only ever pulled out historically of one trade agreement. In 1866, the U.S. quit one trade deal. And as it happens, it was with Canada as a British colony. And so, you know, the withdrawal of that deal didn't proceed without Congress's approval.
But what about a plan B? You have Canadian officials publicly saying they're preparing for the United States to pull out, which would mean the end of NAFTA as we know it. Is Canada preparing for life without it?
Well, they say that they're, you know, they're planning for all scenarios. But what does that look like? It's anyone's guess. I think it's pretty clear that there would be flights of investment out of Canada. There would be job losses. But I think equally Canadian negotiators are trying to make the case that there would be immense job losses in the U.S. as well. So what does it look like? What does post-NAFTA look like? I think at this point, really, it is a lot of economic uncertainty and a lot of pain for a lot of communities.
And we might have a better idea of how that looks at the end of this week. Tonda McCharles of the Toronto Star speaking with us about the NAFTA negotiations getting underway today in Montreal. Tonda, thank you so much.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks for having me.